If you're enjoying this independent podcast, I'd really appreciate it if you could take a few moments to do a review, like, share and subscribe. And if you'd like to see extra content and show your support, head to the Patreon. The link is in the show notes. In 2009, Australian filmmaker Ian Walker made a documentary featuring Sam Vaknin called I, Psychopath, during which Sam offered himself to be clinically assessed and was diagnosed as a borderline psychopath. He lost his temper many times during filming, particularly when questioned about his credentials and PhD, which wasn't verified.
Stop with the pleasantries. Get on with your bloody work. Tell me what to do. Stop with your pretensions, will you? Your Australian good manners.
Get to work.
It's tantrums like this that have been witnessed by many people, and it's what everyone predicted might happen during my interview. As you know, film producers Mark Vicente and Scott Altomori were waiting anxiously to hear from me. We'll pick up immediately from where the last episode ended. And remember, I am still pumped with adrenaline.
I think they'll want us to... I think I should call them. Yeah. Keep rolling. I'm trying to do a video.
Hello?
Hi, can I see you?
Yeah, give me one second. Let me just...
Because you're going to be on camera.
I have nothing to record with. Let me just record here.
Okay. Oh my God. Not the reaction I expected at all. He sat there and wait till you hear it, because he's literally just gone through in detail the different outcomes for how someone reacts when they get found out. It took a long time before he said, I'm not willing to talk about that, but we can carry on the interview. Like, he was so determined to carry on the interview. And then Lydia pipes up and she said something about, oh, he's not had sexual intercourse. And he actually said that's not true to her, like, meaning she, and he told her not to speak because, you know, he said, we're not discussing this. And he said that I was unethical and what I've done was unethical. And then when he went out the door, he said that was a trap.
Did he get angry?
No.
Really?
Yeah. The interview was great, extensive, long. I got everything I think I really wanted. And then Lydia had actually gone and I got my run-up questions, but you know how it takes a long time. She arrived back just as I was about to say it. And I'm like, ugh. So, and then her coming in interrupted me a little bit, and he was getting annoyed because he was literally saying a narcissist will kill themselves.
I just want to say one thing. So, because you told me, I went to Scott to hear this, you asked about the different ways they react when they get exposed, right?
Yeah, so he had literally just gone through how they will react when exposed and whether it's done privately or publicly. And publicly, he went into great detail about it. In front of people they respect, their peers, people they'd like to be like. He literally goes through what happens. What did he call it? A something mortification. And the outcomes. And the outcome could be literally that they'll commit suicide.
Or they put the blame on me. Which is what he did.
Yeah, he put the blame on me. I hope that you'll be really, really happy with it. Part of me would have liked maybe a quick, fast explosion and running out, but I actually think it's far more interesting what you've got. Far more interesting.
Right, especially the lead up. And also, honestly, what it sounds like to me is I think he's in shock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he had no control, and I think he's also maybe learned that all these temper tantrums on camera, because he's had many on camera, are counterproductive, but it sounds almost like he didn't have time to process.
Yeah, he didn't.
What was going on?
He didn't. It was quite slow. He took the thing off. He was trying to find out how to switch it off. He said, we're done here.
He didn't lose his mask at all.
He didn't drop. I saw in his eyes when he realized, but there was no... He so desperately wanted this. And I think he... But honestly, he shook my hand and I didn't know what to do because he was standing there, he was like, it was nice to meet you, and smiling away and safe travels. Like, he was so nice.
He was trying to save face. This is so interesting. It's unexpected.
Yeah, very unexpected. I was definitely like Isla. Well, you could tell Isla was shaking afterwards. And you could tell the last few words, you were just because the way he was describing how he was going to react. So we were expecting that. And then he didn't. He reacted slightly differently.
Yeah, which means he's a psychopath. Yeah, that was interesting because we went into quite a lot about the narcissists and a bit. Like, literally everything he said in the interview, so much of it. He talks about raping people and sexual assault. Like, we went into all of that. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Like,
he often puts it, as soon as he's speaking about narcissists, he says, I, quite a lot. You know, when he's speaking about himself, rather than speaking about a narcissist, he says, I would do this, I would do that.
I also got the stuff out, like saying, I said, I'm really torn here because I said, you're good company, you're charming. I'm like, so is this a da-da-da? Do you feel like this? You know, are you, you know? And there was one point, I think it was the first time I broached it with about him being one. And then he actually said, are you asking me, am I better at what I do because I'm a narcissist? And I'm like, yeah. And then he said, well, yes, maybe, but in one way I might actually be a kind of detriment as well. So yeah, there's loads of background stuff you won't need, but it'll be good for my stuff. But I think it's just utterly fascinating when you know what's coming. And it was just like,
in some ways we were hoping for an explosion, but just like the crying was so odd, this sounds like it was really odd.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Well, I think he didn't want to basically act like we thought he would, so he was trying to choose the high road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That is interesting. I just want to be, just in case he comes back or, I don't know, fucking brings a thug back or something, I just want to make sure security are there and around you.
Guys in front of the door, one guy is down, no one is entering in the building.
Okay, there's one outside our door here and one outside the building, yeah. This is, oh, by the way, he came in straight away and said, I'm not sitting on that. We had to completely rearrange it, so we had to have him on this chair.
It was unfortunately not, it wasn't a very nice setup because...
And yeah, he refused.
Because he sat lower...
He literally moved the chair over and said, oh, we can do it like that. And he put his chair so that he was like behind the cameras. And I'm like, we're like, no. But there was just no way he was going to. And I'm like, okay, we're just going to have to do this.
But it is all recorded, all that move, and him asking.
Oh, good.
Him saying, no, I'm going to sit in here. I don't feel comfortable sitting in the sofa. So it's all recorded.
Is it all right if I get out of my cloak? I'm so cold, I need to go and put thermals and jumpers on
Go change. Thank you. You do amazing job. Thank you so much. I am so looking forward to seeing the footage. I think we should play the footage when you get back here and have you talk about it as well. Richard.
Yeah.
Super.
We got what you want. Amazing work. Amazing.
Right. Catch
we did
you later.
It. Okay.
Amazing, and we're here.
All right. Bye.
See you later.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Oh my God.
Interesting character.
We had to pack up and quickly get to the airport in order to make our flight. Sam, as you know, had invited me to join him for dinner, and I'd previously accepted, knowing full well I'd be on a plane. I can't explain the relief I felt that it was over.
We're on our way to the airport. I was really keen to get out there as soon as possible. Didn't think he'd come back, but just in case, but we've had security. Do you have a nice man that we can't show you on camera? Yeah, it's still sinking in. I need to tell myself I did it. I hope I've done everyone proud. I'm going to feel quite emotional when I get to speak to his victims, and in some way I'm glad that I hadn't made a personal connection with them all beforehand, because I think that I maybe wouldn't have been as calm as I was. And I think, and this is well documented, the best way to deal with a narcissist is to be very calm, very neutral, which I believe I was, if I'd started sort of, you know, raising my volume, would have been different. But yeah, I'm still in shock. I'm in shock that he reacted like that. And
did the fact that he was calling you unprofessional at that time, did that push some of your buttons? Because you are obviously very professional. Did that affect you at the time? Did you think, oh, maybe I am or not?
Yeah, he accused me of being, I think it was unethical or immoral or something like that. But you're like, you can't argue about that when you have taken advantage of vulnerable people who have gone to you for professional help, and you're psychologically and sexually abusing them, financially abusing them. He's infected these women knowingly with cancerous HPV. These are all conscious decisions. He consciously does bad things. So it is an absolute classic tactic to the method of uncovering the crime is they make it worse than the crime. It's like, it's irrelevant that I killed someone. It's irrelevant that I've, you know. God, did I forget to tell him? Or sorry, did I forget amongst the accusations that he wants them to kill themselves? Do you remember if I said that? It was hard. I had to retain so much stuff in my brain. I couldn't have my notes in front of me. I was trying to listen to everything he said to make sure I was getting all the hit points I needed before. And it wasn't easy. It was very stressful. I was juggling so many plates mentally. I can only say I did my best. I'm as happy as I can be that I did that. Would I have liked to have said a lot more? It was just bizarre. I think it was his reaction as well. If he'd started sort of shouting or whatever, I probably would have matched him in that, raising my voice. But I think I'll need to watch it back. It's like my memory can't remember exactly what happened, even though it's just happened. I need to watch it back, and it'll be surreal watching it back. Actually, not very good at praising myself or that, but I know I should feel proud of myself for what I've done. And I'm just praying that he ends up in jail. He deserves to be in jail. And if we've done anything to helping that, then that's something I will be very proud of. I will prevent him from harming other victims. And there's a lot of vulnerable women out there. I don't know how many, he was in contact with a bunch of them all at the same time, and he will be right now. We don't know who they are. We know the victims he's discarded. We don't know the ones that he's working with right now. And I'm sure we'll hear from them. An hour after finishing the interview, we're getting out. And quite honestly, I can't wait to get on that plane by Macedonia, over and out.
You've heard mention and some audio of Richard Grannan, Sam's former business partner. When Richard found out about what Sam had been doing, this was Sam's reaction online.
I want to clarify, I am not associated directly or indirectly with anything that Richard Grannan does. Thankfully, he is out of my life for good.
I met Richard off the plane in Scotland. He was eager to hear what had happened.
Hiya.
Hello.
How are you? Good to see you. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm all right. Glad to be back. I'm dying to watch it back because I've not seen it. Okay. And there was so much adrenaline, I can't remember what he said and what he said.
Just yesterday,
right? Yeah.
Richard has been deeply affected since learning of the abuse, because he has become the main port of call for the victims. So before you hear us listening back to the confrontation for the first time, here's a conversation I had with him later, as we went for a walk by the river, and he updated me on the background.
The latest is he is in his classic narcissist rage phase, and so at the moment he's launched a smear campaign against me via social media, mainly on YouTube, but Instagram, Facebook as well, yeah.
And is that impacting your business?
Thankfully, no. I think most of the people realise what's going on. He's also spoken publicly about how he can never have friends, and if he has a friend, he's going to destroy them ultimately. He wrote the book on smear campaigns, so I think people can see through what he's doing.
Yeah. And it must be difficult, though, because you have to kind of keep quiet.
That's very hard. That's very, very hard. Yeah. So people are saying to me, what's going on? Why is this happening? Yeah. But in order to protect the privacy and the identity of the victims,
yeah,
I have to say nothing. I mean, he's literally threatened to reveal the identity of one of his victims, knowing that if that happens, she'll be disowned by her family.
Oh,
so he's got me, you know, yeah. He's got me trapped.
Do you have any idea how many women it might be in total that he's abused?
So I'm in regular daily contact with six women, six or seven women, and they calculate based on tracking of his movements and what he said he's done and little bits of clues that it could be 20 to 30 women over the last 5-6 years. We really don't know. He could have been doing it for longer. Yeah. I mean, he's been in the public space for 20 years, so yeah. I'm regular contact with six of them, and obviously they're very, very, very distressed, yeah, and they're putting a lot of pressure on me to fix it because they see me as being a business partner. So they're like, okay, what are you going to do to make this right? And I'm saying to them, there's not. What would you like me to do? How would you like me to fix this? It's a very, very difficult position to be in.
And also because they're in different countries, it's not as simple as you go to a local police station and say, my therapist who works in that office down the road has done this. It's because it's cross countries, makes it far more complicated.
There's that, and then there's a tremendous amount of guilt and shame on their part. Oh. They're very embarrassed by what's happened. Oh. They really desperately don't want it to go public. So I've been trying to explain to them that legally, there just isn't that much I can do unless they go to the police and they're willing to go forward and put forward like some sort of a witness testimony.
Yeah. I hope that my involvement will help give them the confidence to do that, and maybe through my contacts I can find a way, because he needs to be stopped. It's so important, and if it is a case of just letting people know, that's step one, but ideally he needs to be punished for this.
Yes, ideally there would be some sort of legal consequences to this. I would hope for that, but if we can't get that, at the very least we can let people know and stop them, as you say. Yeah.
Do you feel very driven though to make sure that he is stopped? Because, and I'm not saying you should feel this way, but there's an element of guilt by association because you were working with him.
I've platformed him. I mean, you know, when I came across him in 2015, he was really, really struggling. So I helped him to grow his channel. I helped him to grow his brand. And loads of people have said to me, oh, I never liked the guy, but because you were talking to him, I started to listen to him. And I'm thinking, well, there will be some number of victims who've come through that funnel that he has of grooming that will be there because of me choosing to platform him.
So what do you think that his pathology will think?
I don't think that these are discrete personality disorders. I think the DSM is probably going to be rewritten. And what we'll see is there's a lot more people like him. So if you imagine a structure of his personality, at the very top, the thing that dominates and that guides everything else is borderline, which means he cycles through different states. He will cycle through states of classic grandiose narcissism. He will display signs of psychopathy, but then he's also very sadistic and Machiavellian. So that's the dark tetrad. He has it all. He has all of these issues all in one. He just cycles through different states depending on the feedback he's getting from his environment. Mm. So you think you've got one version of Sam, situational change, and you get a completely different personality showing up, which is super confusing for the victims.
And a very dangerous cocktail.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
It's the worst cocktail of personality disorder I've ever seen. He's extraordinarily fragile. He's very emotionally dysregulated. I knew this by the way he would contact me. So if I didn't reply to him immediately via email or via text, he'd go into a panic.
Mm.
He gets abandonment anxiety very, very quickly.
And using this label, as you say, to draw them in, that he must be the the all-wise and great Oz, really. Yes. That's what he is.
Yes, yes, that's how he wants to appear. But what he's desperately trying to do is to recruit someone to replace Lydia, who's his live-in nurse, mother, caregiver, because he doesn't function in the world without a woman.
And this is all to do with his mother issues, his mother abandonment.
Massive mother issues, and the fact that he's extraordinarily dysfunctional as an adult human being.
Mm-hmm. But danger, you know, you kind of have pity when you look at the history, but you can't when you think about what he's done. I mean, the sexual abuse and coercion that he's done, that's just abhorrent, his behaviour. And these women who go to him and they're so vulnerable, they're broken, really at the weakest point in their life, and he's supposed to be their lifesaver, and he's not.
No.
He's pushing them back in the water.
Absolutely, and very deliberately, in hopes that they drown, in hopes that they destroy themselves, which is what he told me he wants them to do. He wants them to kill themselves.
And that's what he says, is it suicide by Vaknin?
Suicide by Vaknin. He claimed to me that he's a serial killer, but he can only kill them by forcing them to commit suicide.
You'll hear Richard's full story later in the series about how they met, how he was groomed, and what began as a dream team ended up being a nightmare. But now let's return to the point immediately after I returned when we played back parts of the interview.
If people found out who I am, they would run the other way. If people found out who I am, I would end up in prison. If people found who I am, so it's unpleasant. You know, like, I don't want to be exposed because the outcomes would be horrible. It's a dissonant thing.
People find out who I am, I'd end up in jail.
Amazing.
There's so much like this, though. There's so much.
Because we never got stuff like that.
There's so much. Like, that's what I'm saying. You need to, when you listen to the whole thing, there's bits throughout, and you're like, you know. Okay.
Please don't think that my laughter was making light of this grave situation. We were all hearing it for the very first time, and even though I knew what he'd said, it was bizarre to hear back. We only had time to listen to the confrontation because we had an important video call to make. I'm not going to replay us listening back to it, but know that I was hiding behind my hands. Here's Richard's immediate feedback.
He was very, very angry. Very angry. And scared. And a little bit in shock. And I think that's... He was thrashing around for about 45 seconds. I think he was very, very angry, but he didn't know what to hang it on, so he hung it on you being unethical as a journalist, which is extremely weak, because as a journalist, you're doing what you're supposed to do, and as a documentary maker, you're doing what you're supposed to do, but there's nothing else he could do. But he wanted to frame it as you had committed a moral wrong.
And that it was him abusing women, having sex with them, manipulating them, coercing them, infecting them with HPV, trying to persuade them to kill themselves, cold therapy, sleep deprivation.
That's not
that's
immoral.
That's his personal life.
You asking questions about that is what's immoral, which when people see this, who've been the victims of narcissistic abuse, they'll resonate with that 110%.
Yeah.
That's what's immoral. You're being immoral by asking me, not what I did.
I find it interesting you can see that he's angry there because I haven't obviously spent time with him before. It's the first time I met him.
I can see the micro expressions on his face. When he started to answer you, when he broke eye contact with you and looked down, that's anger. There's this real exasperation and real anger, and then it's fear, then it's shock, and then he's thinking, how do I get out of this? The reason he didn't stand up and scream and cry and throw the mic across the room is because he physically can't. So he's trapped. So that's all he can do. What he did is all he can do. But if he thought he could get away with it, if there was no cameras running and no recording equipment, he would have thrown one of his tantrums that we have audio recordings of him throwing.
What did you think of that moment where Lydia starts saying, that's not true, you've not had sex with any of the... He's not had sex with any of his patients, I've been there taking notes. And he says, you are not correct. So he was basically admitting there that he has had sex with them.
Kind of. He would have deniability on that. She's piping up because she's performing her role within their toxic dyad, the folie à deux,
that they're stuck into. She thinks she's helping him, but he knows that she's not, because he must have thought about this. I think what he's imagining is a pending court case, and it's going to be impossible for him to deny that he had sex with his client. His only defense is going to be to say that everything was consensual. That's all he's going to be able to say. So yeah, he wouldn't be interested in her saying, "Oh no, I was there all the time, darling." No, you weren't. And we know that you weren't there all the time, because often she would be in another country when he was doing this, more often than not.
I've seen, among the many hundreds and hundreds of pages of documented communication, be it email or WhatsApp, that he even comments that he doubts that people would keep messages after so many years. They have. And then he's boasting to the new victims or potential victims about what he's done. And there is literally a paper trail. And he'll be aware of that. And when I said I've seen hundreds and hundreds of documents and photographs, I didn't say photographs of you with your genitals in your hand, but he'll know exactly what that is.
We had a few minutes before Mark's scheduled video call with one of Sam's victims. While the crew were resetting to film it, I had a more personally motivated question for Richard, born out of my own insecurity.
I don't know if this is the right word, but are you happy with that?
Yeah, it's a good result. He's fucked. Mm-hmm. And he knows it. He knows there'll be no coming back from this. So everything he was saying to you about narcissists tucking things away in their unconscious, a lot of what he's done, he's shelved. And he thinks it's private, and he thinks it's hidden forever. And now he's going to realise, no, it's going to go into the public space, and he's going to have to deal with it. And he won't be able to.
There's a bit you've not heard yet when he talks about the moment they have to face the reality. They've persuaded themselves of another, and that's when he says that when it's the public exposure, the public humiliation in front of the peers, and they have to face the reality.
Yeah.
There is no escaping that.
Well, he just doesn't have... He knows that that's coming. It's inevitable. And he doesn't have the wherewithal. He doesn't have the resources to cope with what that'll be. And so he knows this is the end of the line. He's destroyed.
There was part of me that thought, does he know what he's saying? Does he suspect somewhere subconsciously that I was... I don't think he did think I was going to do that, because I think he'd so desperately wanted me to be...
Well, you baited him. You've done to him what he's done to all these women.
Over a long period of time.
Over a long period of time, you've love-bombed him, you've baited him, you've got him into this covert contract, and you've fed him a fantasy. This is all about you, Sam, and how clever and brilliant and special you are, which he's weak for. So he's fallen right into your trap, only for you to turn around and go, no, this is the real reason we're here. So now he's going through the devastation of being lied to and deceived, and knowing that he there's no way out for him from this.
As I've explained, at this point, I'd had no contact with any of the victims. They didn't know I existed. Mark had arranged the video call within an hour of my return. It was time for us to meet. And despite it being over a video call, as she lives in another country, it was extremely emotional.
Hello.
Hello, Mark.
So, I want you to quickly have a look at who's with me.
Привет.
Richard, привет!
How are you doing?
What a great surprise! Wow, guys, hi!
I see.
So, I'm in Scotland right now with Richard.
Great, great.
And I want to introduce you to somebody who I trust very much. She's a woman I trust very much, and she's done something...
I envy all of you because I love Scotland. Scotland in pre-Christmas, it's very good idea, you know?
Very beautiful here. So yeah, there's a friend I want you to meet. She's, I trust her very much, and she's done something pretty amazing. And so I would like you to meet her.
Sure.
Okay? Yeah. So I'm gonna jump out, and she's gonna jump in and introduce herself.
Okay. But come back.
I'm gonna come back, don't worry.
Hi. It's nice to meet you, and I know this is going to be strange, and this is a good surprise, not a bad surprise. And there's a reason why you don't know who I am yet. But you're going to be happy, I hope. So my name's Isla Traquair. I'm an investigative crime journalist, and I specialise in crimes against women and protecting women. And I know all about you. And for a period of 8 months, I have been establishing trust with Sam Vaknin to go and physically interview him, which I did 24 hours ago. And I confronted him. And I hope you don't mind, but I know everything that's happened to you. And I was able to put to him, not only on your behalf, there's no names mentioned, but about his victims. And I put it to him what he's done to all of you. And we've got him on camera. And we've got him.
The beautiful woman on the screen was looking back at me, her hands in a prayer position in front of her, clearly in shock. And before I even managed to explain what had happened, she interrupts with a question that many victims feel compelled to ask, and it broke my heart.
Before you continue, I just want to ask you one question. Do you believe me?
Oh, yes.
What I'm saying is true.
Oh, yes. You do not need to persuade me. And I hope you don't mind, but what we needed to... There's a reason why we couldn't tell, and I trust that you would never have said anything to him.
Absolutely, I don't mind. I don't mind at all.
We didn't want you...
The only reason I'm asking you this question is because I know how much Sam can, you know, brainwash people, how he can be charming self, how he can twist facts, and it's important for me that you trust me. That's the only reason I'm asking you.
You have no concerns there.
Richard was sat beside me, his head lowered, overwhelmed with his own feelings. He's never met or seen this victim, but he's spoken to her on the phone. I'm going to pause here because our exchange deserves the space and time to be heard properly. There are tears, and not just from me, but Richard, Mark and Scott, and of course, the woman who survived Sam Vaknin. In the next episode of The Narcissist Playbook, I explain the need for secrecy to Sam's victim.
We needed to keep you in the dark for the reason of making sure we didn't blow my cover.
Richard Grannan predicts Sam's downfall.
The important thing is that you know that what Isla's done is going to finish him off. He's fucked.
Guys, I love all of you.
And I hear more about the man who abused her for many years.
He's just heartless. Mm-hmm. Cold-hearted, horrible criminal.
The storyteller Narcissist Playbook is written, produced and edited by me, Isla Traquair, and it's the fourth in the storyteller series. This is an independent production and I rely on you, the listeners, to help spread the word by showing your support. It doesn't cost anything, just a few clicks to like, share, subscribe and review. And soon there'll be extra content available on my Patreon for the price of a cup of coffee, including analysis, evidence, regular videos, and more. Thank you for listening. If you've been affected by narcissistic abuse, there are links for support in the show notes.